3, 2, 1. Beep. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast, J2K Podcast. I'm Jeff.
I'm Justin.
I'm Christine.
And guess who else is here?
Corrine.
And we have, I've wrote this up, so I want to announce our guest tonight is an actor, a producer, a writer. He starred in films such as Lost Weekend, Misfortune County, Dalibor the Yugo Cowboy. Oh my gosh, so much stuff. Like, Dalibor had a $250 budget, but he's a movie star and he's here in our house. Everybody, it's Burke DeBoer.
Hello.
Hey. Hello. Burke.
Oh my gosh. Y'all are gonna embarrass me.
Well, there's more in here. Like, okay. I wrote in here, I want like a Southern eulogy. I liked that.
You liked it.
Didn't you play a dead guy with a bullet hole in your head?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what was the credit of that? What was the name?
Dead guy with a bullet in his head?
Yeah, basically. So I directed that. That was my little Hitchcock cameo. And so me and the other guy that's like lying, gushing blood and sputtering on the ground, was a friend of mine, Darian, played that other part. And we traded the same like blue shirt because it's set in the Civil War. And so we're just the two Union Rangers was the credit there.
Yeah, there it was.
Yeah, we only had one blue shirt, so that was the Union Regiment. That was one guy.
I looked on your IMDb page, and then I also looked at Body in the Window Seat, which is what's the official title of that? A production company?
That's what I call it. Yeah, I call it a studio more than a company because we're not exactly profitable.
Right. Okay, yeah. But to parse out like the amount of stuff that you've done is like it was a lot, and you starred and produced and wrote stuff, like it's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah. One thing that I definitely believe in that I kind of ripped off from Robert Rodriguez writes about this of not necessarily going to a film school. And just making movies as your film school. It's something you've talked about wanting to just be in something and just act. And it's just kind of that same philosophy
A lot of our favorite musicians did the same thing with music.
Yeah.
They didn't go to a music school. They didn't learn music, per se. They just got in a garage and started making music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've been in stuff with another buddy. Like, we had a movie called Tree Attack. Yeah. But yeah, so I just lost what I was gonna say. Okay, somebody else pick up the mantle.
I've got friends in Columbia, Missouri that made movies for a long time. They made horror movies, and they end up getting semi-famous. Like, they've got a bunch of stuff on. They've got some stuff on Netflix and everything.
Yeah,
You're Next is from that whole crew.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's filmed in Columbia.
Really?
Mm-hmm. When I watch the credits, like, recognize everybody's name that helped out, that pitched in with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I remember what I was going to say now.
Okay.
I'm standing over here now.
Jeff's standing up. It's literally has the floor.
Yeah, and this isn't in stereo, so no one would know. It's all mono. But I watched the first hour of Dalibor, and you wrote and directed, and
I didn't direct. Okay. Nathaniel Dunaway directed that.
Okay. Yeah. You just starred in it and wrote it.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So, there's a scene, and I loved how you got Dalibor to the U.S. Like, the premise is it Yugoslavia, or?
Yeah.
Some Eastern Bloc country is going to invade the United States, and they do, and it fails, but, like, you used all this old footage that could have been kind of new, but you, like, black and whited the, like, your guys' film parts, so it was, like, this thing, and so you're in Oregon, and you're walking around with your helmet. With the helmet is like the funniest prop of all time, dude.
Thank you.
But you get upset. You're by yourself, and you start to like fight a tree, and like and then another tree. But like it reminded me of like not Dick Van Dyke, but Jerry Lewis, like slapstick.
Oh, thank you.
But the tree was fighting back and kind of won at one point.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. I threw the Mosin Nagant at it and it, like, bounced back.
Yeah, But, like, it was, you didn't stop filming and, like, go, hey, let's do that again. You just went with it, like, it seemed like to me.
Yeah.
And you fought that little tree, and then you went and kicked another one. And so that was crazy. And then the next part was, first of all, the up close of you, like, beating the fork straight and then tying it to the stick was, like, an, like, it probably wasn't meant to be humorous, but it was totally funny.
It sounds like the Evil Dead where he's like prepping all his...
Oh, I've been... Okay, so the few actors that I've been compared to very recently that I feel super honored to always get these. And these all came up in October. I got a little gig for a short film that they said they needed a Jack Nicholson type.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly who to talk to. I was like, you can call me Jack Nicholson all goddamn day. I'll do whatever you want. And then I also got some buddies rewatched the Evil Dead movies, and one messaged me and was like, I see a lot of Bruce Campbell in you. And then Robert Pattinson in The Lighthouse. Those were three... Like, after not being really compared to anyone for a very long time.
I really want to see Lighthouse.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's a trip.
So, the other part was trying to spear the fish.
Right.
Like, the...
Which, I want to say, I made that movie during the peak of my Buster Keaton craze.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot, because I was going to ask about the contorted body, like... You know, and it was like the water was really shallow, but it was like you were spearing in 6 feet of water.
Right.
I was like, whoa, man. And then the other part was the close up of your face when the coyotes were howling.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was funny because you were, like, going for scared of the coyotes, but, like, you had these weird quivers going on in your, like, lips and your cheek. And so, like, I was laughing because it seemed funny to me, like almost a parody of being scared.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Whenever quivers happen, I like to keep that because it's something that, like, you can't fake.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of, which it's been so long since I made Dalibor.
When was that?
Oh, shoot.
I didn't write the year. Sorry.
2014?
Okay. 9 years ago.
24.
When you were like 14 years old.
Okay.
Not quite nine.
I'm not a mathematician here. Fine.
I don't know math, baby.
Maybe it was 2015. I was barely drinking age. I can tell you that. No, I was 21 because on my 21st birthday, I had the big beard grown out for that. So there's, I remember that. Yeah, I would have been 21 when we made that.
So the other thing is what language were you speaking?
So that is Croatian.
And that's, you spoke it fluently.
I memorized it.
You did?
Yeah.
Is it Yugoslavian or Croatian?
Well, the Yugoslav languages, I had a friend of mine from Croatia translate it, which Croatia was a part of Yugoslavia. And their languages are super related. Like, even though Serbian and Croatian are, like, different languages.
So, in Missouri, where I'm from, half of the workers that I worked with in a warehouse were Bosnian. And they spoke Serbo-Croatian.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know some of that language.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I know a few phrases. Štaima means, what's up? And nema ništa means not much. So when the little kids have, everything rhymes. Okay. These little kids have phrases. And I went up to an elderly Bosnian dude and I was like, Štaima. And he was like, nema ništa. And I said, glava ti kopišta. It all rhymes, but it means your head is like a whistle. Like it's just a ball rolling around in there, and little kids say it. I guess it's a popular phrase, and he made one up on the fly. He really clever. He said, "Glavati veća puna smeća," your head is big and full of trash.
Nice.
You know, I don't know why I remember these phrases.
I know it's a lie.
Do you know "Bully Mikurats"?
What is it?
"Bully Mikurats"?
No.
You said that a lot.
Yeah. It literally means. Pain in my balls, but it means I don't give a shit.
Yeah?
I think balls. It might be penis. One of the things down
the
there.
The cuss word they always said was yebo. Yebo. It's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. one that I memorized for this was Yebum Tiboga Yarsa, which is, I'm fucking your goat god.
Yeah.
I don't remember who gave that to me, but it must have been a Croatian.
So, well, that's funny because we have a Ouija board here. Speaking of goat gods.
Ooh.
Yes. Do we finally have a Ouija?
Yeah, I got
okay.
it.
Okay.
So, Brooke, I have to tell you, I did watch one of your movies this week.
You did?
I did.
Were you going to watch Talk About Clobbered?
I did watch that.
Ooh, okay.
Did you see someone watch it?
No. Jeff said that.
I told him.
I had one viewer.
I wanted to give you $7. Yeah. So I went onto your production site.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's for sale.
It was what I wanted to do is when he said that you were coming, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go on and I'm going to watch one of these movies and buy it. And it won't work.
It won't work.
Buy it.
Oh.
And I was like, damn it. So then I just start searching it, and I found that one on YouTube.
Yeah, we put it all up for free. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you can put that towards your production, because I felt really bad. I'm like, I'm going to see him.
Well, thank you.
But I love the movie, and I feel like it's very different than most of the other ones that you have done.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I must say that when I sat down and watched it, and it starts, and I think, oh, okay, it's going to be like that.
Sure.
I really did.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I was like, oh.
How long?
Okay.
About how long were you thinking? Okay.
Well, I did watch it over two nights. But I didn't, I go to bed early, and I didn't get until 9 by the time I figured out how to get it and get it
usually
on the TV
and stuff.
Usually 6 people
a week.
And
yeah.
I couldn't wait to finish it.
Really?
Yeah, I really couldn't wait. It was about maybe a third of the way in.
Okay.
When things really started spinning.
Yeah.
Really when the, like, okay, well, what really got me was the quartet scene.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
my God.
So proud
that's
of that.
When I'm like, it's going. It is like, it's there. This is fucking hilarious. And then the suitcase, I just like, where I stopped and picked back up as I kind of rewinded was like Annie's story.
Track people?
What's
but
the
like
name of the
when,
movie?
Talk About Clobber.
Annie's plan.
Yeah.
Like, and then I forget what her friend, the other track guy was.
Buster.
Buster's plan.
Yeah.
And it's just like how you just filmed that. It was like paused it and they're like, this is the plan. And like, oh my God. And I didn't see.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you should watch it. Did not see what was coming. I don't want to spoil it.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I was mind blown. I was like,
I love
it. Fuck yes. Here it is. And I must have to say that the, oh my God, why can't think? Blonde. The guy's, the character, the dealer. Blonde Jeremy. I was going to say Justin, and I knew it wasn't that.
Like a play on Ron Jeremy?
Oh my God, okay, so I don't want to give the scene away, but I love that you just had him sit there and not do shit.
Yeah.
That was like.
The dude.
Well, Oscar and Todd are doing all the work. I just couldn't, like, it was. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, it was just, I want to go back and rewatch it because I know, especially in that beginning, I missed a lot. Like, it's crazy how it all just starts, like, coming together.
Yeah,
and, like,
we definitely,
a lot of layers
that's,
in that.
It's probably our most plot heavy, which is why it's really kind of, like, slow in the first third, but, like, so much gets layered in, that we were intentionally hoping people would miss.
Yeah, it was funny. And it's like weird to see you like without a fucked up face.
Well, without a beat up one at least.
Yes. A clobbered face. Yes.
So Burke, like, are you from Oregon?
I am. I'm from Prineville, cowboy capital of Oregon.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Prineville.
Prine-tucky.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So, I take it you grew up on a farm?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So,
between Prineville and Madras, actually.
Okay, so when did you become into film? Like, when did that happen for you? Or want to act, or how did it start for you?
So, it's mostly my friend Nathaniel's fault. To use the term fault sounds weird, but yeah, like I grew up an only child on a farm for one thing, so I was writing a lot, I read voraciously, And then in the eighth grade, I met Nathaniel, who had made a couple movies in his backyard with his cousins and sister and
That's
stuff.
That's awesome.
With camcorders, like in Super 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I started working with him that year. And then next year was high school, was a first year student. And first day, first class, first year was drama. And that looked like I'd already acted,
yeah,
using air quotes, on the camcorder, so I was just instantly hooked. And yeah, from that point, I was pretty much hook, line, and sinker.
Cool.
Done for.
Right on. Well, now that we're done kissing your ass, because you're a movie star.
I know.
Hey, I give him $7.
Hey, this is the best podcast I've ever been on.
And paid you for your services.
I will say, though, way before the podcast, Jeff had played me a couple of your movies. Like, at least a year ago, we were talking about you.
We watched some of the shorts.
Yeah, the shorts. Like, the one you got hit by a cop. Was he riding a bike or something?
That one.
That was the breakup.
Yeah, one short.
I love that one. That was good.
It was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we more recently watched the one with the nun or the sister that got
Southern Eulogy.
Yeah. Got kidnapped, or she was kidnapping. I can't remember now at this point.
Yeah.
The.
And then the guy was like
Colonel guy, or
trying to be cool to chicks, and then he just pushes her down the mountain, kills her. But yeah, whatever. The one that was most disturbing though. Was the Take One, Leave One.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
You guys gotta watch Take One, Leave One. Like, I'm not gonna say any more about it, and I'm not gonna let the people go through us talking about it and not talking about it. I would like to hear, Christine came up with a topic to talk about, is what is the worst thing your parents caught you doing when you were a kid?
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's a great icebreaker, too.
So, Christine has one, so we'll let her go first.
Okay.
Well, my parents actually never caught me doing this.
Well, then it doesn't count, babe. What the hell?
Christine, everybody masturbates.
This is classic Christine. Like, oh, this will be cool. I got a great story, but actually I don't.
They know about it. That's why I, like...
Later?
Yeah, like I told them later about
it. So they never caught you doing it.
Well, I was a very sneaky child.
Completely off the theme. Why don't you go ahead and tell the story anyway? Jesus Christ.
Well, okay, let me preface this with, I was a very, like, I minded my parents.
Mm.
I was very fearful of them. I grew up in that generation where the wooden spoon was an ever... ready presence, and I did not want
you
to get
hit
by it.
You were, air quote, a good girl.
Yeah, I really was. So my, like, worst thing I ever done is probably not that kind of mundane, but when I was about maybe 11 or 12, my friend and I decided that we were going to go try cigarettes because the kids that smoked them under the bridge were pretty dang cool, and we wanted to be one of them. So we rounded up our quarters, and again, this is back in, like, early 80s where you could buy cigarettes from a vending machine.
Oh, boy.
In a bowling alley. So we got our quarters. We were ready. We knew how much we needed to do. We had done surveillance to find out, like, which one we were going
to
pull.
Have to be in and out quick.
Yeah. So we were kind of sitting by the front door, and we were waiting for the guy who ran the alley, bowling alley, to kind of run off so we could run in and get the cigarettes real quick and run out. So he took off for a second. We ran and we shoved our quarters in. We pulled... thing. We probably ended up with menthols. I don't even remember. We were just so excited to get cigarettes. So we smoked the cigarettes. We thought we were cool. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was kind of like, coughing, whatever. And then we divvied up the cigarettes after we'd smoked our each two. So we had, what, 9 each at that point. Because we packed 20. So I forgot about...
Divvied up my cigarettes.
So the part about this, I think, is the funny part. So I have these cigarettes, I'm like, I don't know, 12, and I know my parents might find these, so I need to figure out a place to hide these cigarettes. So I had this, like, plastic case that was, like, you put Kleenex in. It was, like, what little girls put in their purse, you know, when they're 12. It had a little mirror in it. So I took the Kleenex out, I lined up the cigarettes, I put the Kleenex back in, and I closed the case.
Ooh,
put them in my purse, totally forgot about these cigarettes. Months go by, and my mom and dad take us to Disneyland. And... I'm in the airport. I'm about to go through security. And my little 12-year-old brain dawns on me. I have cigarettes in my purse, and the TSA is going to tell my parents.
And you're 9.
I'm at like 12.
12.
Yeah. So we're about to go through security, and I'm like, Mom, I have to go to the bathroom. And my mom's like, what? We're in line. I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom, Mom. She's like, we are in line. Can't you go to the bathroom after? I'm like, no, I can't. I can't. So my mom takes me out of line. I go into the bathroom. I take the stupid cigarettes out. I throw them down the toilet.
Oh, shit.
And then I, you know, get back in. So that was the worst thing I've ever done. And I told my mom later.
It's
a mistake.
I'm
like, no, I'm not worse than that.
No, there's one, but I can't talk about it. Like, she made it very clear.
Okay.
So
I'm just saying that was like the worst thing my parents found out that I had done.
Oh, yeah. They
like,
did find out that
well,
you
I told them later. Funny story. Like,
but
when I was 12, I bought, oh God, probably in my 20s, I told them. Like, remember that time we were in the airport and I like freaked out? It's because I had cigarettes in my purse. And I literally had never, like, we didn't even smoke it. We were just like, we're just trying to be cool. But it was just, I don't know. To me, it's a really funny story.
Not quite on theme, but okay. Good job.
Anyway,
else have one?
Let's hear the good ones.
I'm having a hard time thinking of one.
Yeah, have one?
I didn't get caught, man. I don't think I got caught.
Yeah, does it have to be specifically
okay,
caught?
Okay, so do you like the worst
parents?
Thing you ever did as a kid?
Okay.
How's that?
I can remember.
Well, when Christine said it, it was worst thing you did as a kid that your parents caught you doing.
Not necessarily my parents, but I got caught.
Yeah.
In plaid pantry. Oh, it was Quick Pantry in Moberly, Missouri. They had a porn section, like the porn magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And we were stuffing them like
nice.
Half in our, down our, the front of our pants and then folding the shirt down over them. And the woman was like, what are you kids doing? And we like immediately just bolted out the door and ran off. That was like the most, I'm like, oh my God, it's a small town. I know she knows who I am.
Yeah.
And she's going to call my parents.
That's so funny.
And then now I realize she made minimum wage and didn't give a shit.
She didn't give a shit. I just thought of another one, though.
Is it on theme?
Yes, and my mom did find out, and I was in so much trouble.
Uh-oh.
So we were at the mall. You know, for those of you who don't remember what malls are... Before
don't
online
make yourself
jobs.
Sound
those
that
big abandoned places.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I was in this store.
Yeah.
I was
you kids.
I was in this store called KB Toy Store.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know if they have those
oh,
anymore.
Yeah.
And I found this Garfield eraser that I wanted. It was this little Garfield, and it was Garfield looking into a fishbowl, playing with a fish, being Garfield, you know. And my mom was across the way with my brother at some shoe store buying shoes. So I went over there. I went over to my mom. I'm like, Mom, I found this eraser. I really want it. And she's like, you can't have this eraser. I went back to it.
Oh shit!
And I stole the eraser. I went back to the shoe store. I was like, well, I got the eraser. My mom saw that I had the eraser. And made me go back
home
to the
Katie
toy store and hand it to the store clerk and tell her I was sorry that I stole the eraser. So there you
well,
go.
That's,
I am a thief.
That's my story too. I don't even know how old I was. Like. 5 maybe, and it was the outdoor store in McMinnville, and I took a candy bar. Like, I asked for a candy bar, and I was told no, and then I took it, and then I'm sitting in the back seat, like, unwrapping it, like, my mom isn't going to hear the wrapper. And she turns around, and she's like, and took me back in, and I had to, like, hand it back, and I remember, like, head down, like, the feeling of just, like, I was... You know, had done something horrible, but that didn't stop me from the rest of my life.
So you stole other things?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Candy bars?
Well, yeah. Prior to my sobriety, I did a lot of shit.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Wah
wah. Wah.
I've never stolen a thing in my life.
Really?
No. That's so.
Well, that was a
I'm a drunk. Of course, I stole shit.
I turn into a klepto when I drink.
I've liberated items from their abusers.
I have kleptomania. When it gets bad, I have to take something for it. I can remember being at a house party and waking up at home in my bed, like, whoa, go. and going in the bathroom, and there was a cologne that I did not recognize in my bathroom. Like, why the fuck would I steal cologne?
Wait a minute. How does it go when you wake up again?
Giga! Giga booby trap! So, I walk over to that house and put the cologne on their doorstep. I felt so bad.
Oh, like you... Okay, got like, it. I did not...
I don't have a conscience. When, I don't have a conscience when I, like... Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So, I was a really good kid. Like, Chris, we were talking about this that day that we spent at the junk hut. I was also a very, very good kid. Like, did not do anything bad. Was terrified of, like, displeasing my parents. But there is a funny story I have that I didn't realize I was displeasing my mother and how upset she would be with me. But as an adult, this pops into my mind. So growing up, we had this girl that lived next to us, and she had what we called a learning disability. But it's a lot more than like what you would hear about being a learning disability nowadays. She was developmentally disabled. You know, whole like noises, arms, and she was in my grade, and there was a bunch of other kids in our neighborhood that were all in my grade. And Elizabeth would like always want to play with us, and I liked Elizabeth. I thought she was really cool, and she always had good toys and shit. But she had this, she just didn't, her hair always smelled really bad.
Oh.
I don't really know.
What did it smell like?
Her. Like, oh, okay. I can't even describe it. I don't know. Like,
she didn't wash it, or?
I can't, like, okay. She came from a really nice family, so I'm sure they washed it. She had super thick, black hair. And I remember the kids in the neighborhood making fun of her about her hair. And one day I decided, and it was just her and I, that I wanted to, like, give her a little makeover and wash her hair for her outside in a 40-degree day with the water hose. The garden hose. Oh, no. That's probably, like, 9. And she would do anything you told her to do. Like, I mean, she just wanted to be included. And I, like, didn't realize the severity of that. My mom was pissed. Like, I was in a lot of trouble.
Like, your mom came out and caught you, like, mid-spray.
Yeah, I didn't really realize I was, like, it was that bad.
Well, that was back when everybody believed that you could catch a cold, your death was cold from wet hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. My mom's like, you're going to kill the girl. I know. Like, yeah.
Why are you hosing down the girl?
I know. I was just out there with like a garden hose.
She just has a developmental disability.
With the shampoo out there, everything. Like,
I'm trying to wash
her out. Just do a makeover.
I just know I wanted to do it because I didn't want her hair to stink anymore. But I mean,
I just picture you like standing over with your hand on your hip, like in the water hose in the other hand, and her just sitting on the ground, just like watering like flowers.
But really concentrating on that hair.
Did you have shampoo, or were you just gonna let her down?
Oh, no.
Did you have her all like?
Oh yeah, I lathered
fully
her up.
Lathered up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, did she let you rinse her off at least, or did she like walk off with soapy hair?
I think I had her almost rinsed by the time mom caught me.
Okay.
I didn't get her conditioned.
That's not too bad.
I didn't get her conditioned though.
Did you get a? Did
what
you get
her
a smell? Did her hair smell better after
no.
that?
No.
You can't. Yeah, wet hair is good.
Yeah, it just it was. I don't know. It was. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Dang it.
If it was like a hormones or.
Well, it could be medication too.
Yeah,
like medications will make
like your shit smell and other stuff. Like the kid, my kid's mom works with developmentally disabled people. DD, they call them. Not other words, but
I got a stern look on that.
Yeah, he did. And Corrine's pointing her finger at him. But some medications would make them smell different. Uh-huh.
I never even thought about that. I bet it was something.
But, like, let me tell you about some of the greatest people that you've ever met in your life. Like, they are, like, overly happy about the littlest thing. Like, it is so amazing. Yeah. Like, we would go, I was a healthcare rep for some of them, and we would just, like, I'd take them out to eat, you know, and they're just super happy. Yeah. Like, you know, talk about grateful. Yeah.
And this girl was, like, a solid friend. Like, she would have done anything for you. Like, very loyal.
I have the very worst memory. So, I don't know if I told this story on the podcast or not, but I used to repair satellites for a living. And we went to North Central Missouri, out in the sticks. Like,
you haven't told the story.
I know you haven't.
The middle of nowhere.
Because I'm not to interrupt you for the craziest amount of jobs.
Yeah.
You're like, I once worked in a mortuary.
I can make fun of for all the jobs I've had.
Back in 89, I was an astronaut.
So we pulled, like, on the work orders that we got to go fix these satellites, it would just have an address, and you just show up there at the time it was, you know, you were scheduled for. So we pull up, and it was like a mansion. It was a really nice house. It was a gate we had to get buzzed in.
Oh.
And I'm like, look at this. We're gonna.
It's like a mansion.
It. Yeah. Hopefully the husband's not home. So we like pull up, and we get greeted by a developmentally disabled person, like a grown man just like walked up and knocked on the window and. Really nice, super nice guy, but a woman came out and, like, you know, ushered him back in, and it was a home for people with special needs. So we went in, I climbed up on the roof, and I was fixing, they only hired me because the guy I worked with was afraid of heights. I don't know how he got the job, but I climbed up on the roof and was fixing the satellite, and just below me, I could reach down and touch him. He could have reached up and touched me. That it was like a low ceiling. He was on the deck. This guy was just staring at me, like cold, mean mugging me. And I'm like, one of the nurses or the caretakers, she noticed I was like looking a little nervous. Like, this guy's within arm's reach of me, and he's looking like, he wants to hurt me. And she came out and she's like, he just looks like that. He's really sweet. And I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, his name's Chris. I don't know what his name was, but she's like, yeah, his name's Chris. And I'm like, hey, Chris. No facial expression, just like stone cold stare. And she's like, he loves to rap. And I'm like, what? And so she walks away, and it's just me and this guy.
Okay.
There's nobody else. Yeah. And I'm like, I start beatboxing. I'm like, who cares? So I'm like, you know, like doing little beatbox. He started rapping. It was such a magic moment.
Like,
yeah.
Freestyle. Like,
but he was like maybe autistic, and he couldn't verbalize, so it was just like gibberish, like, you know.
Oh my god.
It was magic. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Good story, Justin.
Sorry, I emulated a person with special needs.
Yeah, that was a rough moment, but great story regardless.
I'm proud of how you told that to Justin.
Hey, and you checked yourself with grace.
I would like to defend Justin on that. He made it pretty clear the guy didn't verbalize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had to say other than words. Good job, Justin.
Thank you.
So, you haven't told a story yet.
I haven't told a story yet. My parents were pretty libertarian, was the thing, which I complimented by being a pretty docile kid. I didn't really get caught doing much either.
Yeah.
What does it mean to have libertarian parents?
That they kind of let me do my own thing, and they didn't believe in grounding me. They didn't, you know, overtly punish me, really.
So it wasn't about you getting in trouble. It was just like, oh, talking about what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And why was that, like, the wrong thing to do?
You shouldn't play with matches.
Yeah. I mean,
that sounds like an amazing childhood. Are you on a farm or a ranch?
Yeah. A little ranch.
And you have, like, no rules.
Basically.
And your parents are just, like, teaching you to be a good, just kind person.
I mean, the worst thing that I ever did was probably when I was like 12, I shot out some windows of a construction project. But my parents never found out. The law never found out. So.
It's like it didn't happen.
So it's like it didn't happen until I came on the J2K podcast. And this steam that's been brewing for.
Well, this is only being recorded right now. It has not been published yet.
Who knows? It might not even be recording.
Wait a minute.
I know, right?
I gotta check. Oh, yes, it's still going.
Okay.
You're in.
All right.
I think enough time has passed that...
Statue of
limitations, baby.
That's funny.
Anything else about that? Anybody?
Yeah.
You could transition just the stupid things you did as a kid.
Oh, tons of stupid things.
Or stupid we'll things you did as a satellite repairman.
Yeah, three tons boys. Of those too.
Did you tube, babe?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like my own smell.
Jeff has his shirt over his nose, and he's breathing his chest scent.
I was wondering if he was like turtling himself
so
there.
Good
he's turtling himself.
Well, there's another topic that was brought up in our little text thread about bizarre or strange interactions with police.
Oh!
Kareen came up with that one. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the guy sitting next to me might have a story. Mm-hmm.
The who? Guys.
Who, me? Who, me?
They're like, oh!
Little old me!
Little old like, me! Hand.
Oh, I do like... believe I've got the vapors.
Oh, you alright?
I almost shot soda water out my nose.
So when I was 14, this was after Nathaniel had taught me the magic of making movies with a camcorder. It was the day after Christmas, and I had my own little camcorder. And I don't know where my dad and uncle were. They weren't home. And, you know, Nathaniel was off doing things with his family. So I was just recording my own movie. And it had kind of snowed, so I was like, oh, this could be about the Korean War. And so I was running around, and I had, you know, the prop guns and grenades and things like that. And I went across the street onto the railroad tracks, and I was going up filming, and a car drove by. And so, I filmed it guerrilla style, like it was a North Korean patrol. And then it turned around, and it was an unmarked cop car. And these two cops got out, and they threw their
shit.
Guns.
Oh, my gosh!
And so, like, get on the ground, and you know, I got on the ground, and I, you know, put everything down like I was ordered, and they came and frisked me and found the grenades that were on me and stuff. They were dummied out Army surplus, but they were still heavy steel grenades.
Oh my god. Oh, was the camera still rolling?
The camera was still rolling. Oh. Well, wait, no. I turned it off because I thought it was the dude that owned that field. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to explain myself. And I was, get on the ground!
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
And then, after we did the crucible...
What are these?
And they read me the Miranda rights. They cuffed me. Their backseat, because this was an unmarked vehicle, they were going to talk to the sawmill that I lived down the road from about something that had happened there.
Windows getting shot out, maybe?
Windows getting shot out! Who, me?
That was a good one.
Yeah. So the backseat was too full of stuff, so they put me in the passenger seat. And since I lived across the road, they drove me across the road, and the second dude just walked. And then they pulled me out, and they gave me a talking to about how, well, the City of Prineville Railway, this is technically private property, so this is trespass. And, you know, they did the whole thing that cops have to do to try to make themselves seem like they were in the right. But then when I was a senior...
You sound like the kid of libertarian parents.
You know, yeah. The things the cops have to do.
when I was a senior in high school, we did the Crucible. And after we wrapped...
What's that mean?
The Crucible, a play,
okay.
By Arthur Miller, which has a big cast. So the wrap party was a really big group of us. And we went to the Goody's ice cream store. And Prineville, and there was an empty lot next to it, and one of the courses that you take as part of the drama school curriculum is stage combat, and so we were out there stage fighting and beating each other up, and the cops got called on this rumble that was happening, exactly, and so they got out and they circled us around to give us a talking to, and the cops said a couple years back we had an incident like this. Where there was a kid who was filming a movie on the railroad tracks, and it is scary how close those officers came to pulling the trigger.
Oh shit!
And that the cops had evidently talked about it after that. They were both like
we almost shot an innocent kid.
Yeah. That there's like no reason that they could explain why they didn't.
What on Turtle's badge?
Did you say anything? Or you just went, oh shit.
I looked at Nathaniel and he raised his eyebrows and we started laughing. And then
how funny, I almost died.
here. That's hilarious.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's my best cop story.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah,
man.
That is a good one.
Besides losing my job over a speeding ticket, but that's not nearly on the same level.
I have a goodies sticker on my guitar downstairs.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or wait a minute. What's the place in... It's in Prineville. It's an ice cream shop.
So in Prineville, there's goodies.
Tasty Treats.
Tasty Treats.
That's
yes.
what I got, not goodies. Yeah.
He's Facebook friends with Tasty Treats.
Yeah.
Tasty Treat.
Do they have a jingle? They need a jingle. They have to have a Tasty Treat jingle. We're going to make one up. We'll sing it to you guys on the next podcast.
Here we go.
Tasty Treats, Tasty Treats.
Jeff is doing a jiggle.
I don't know what kind of jam that is.
Are we jiggling?
We did have truffle cheese, so I'm truffle shovel.
I'm
just standing up because...
I don't know if I've got, like, a worst cop story, but my favorite one is we were at a house party, and everybody was dancing. I made a mix CD, and as soon as I got there, I put it in and cranked the music up, and loud enough to where nobody could talk. Everybody was just dancing. So, sure enough, the campus police showed up. This is Mizzou in Columbia, Missouri, by the way.
And we're able to get in undetected because no one could hear anything.
They knocked on the door.
It's like those noise-canceling earbuds.
Yeah.
This wasn't campus police. This was the Columbia police. They knocked on the door. It was two cops. And they're like, we've been getting noise complaints, you guys. And, you know, if we get called out here again, we're going to have to make everybody disperse. And the guy's like, I was like, you guys want to come in? And one of the cops was like, I don't. And he was like, the second cop was like, I'm just training this guy. I want to come in. He's still training. That cop came in and was dancing with us. He turned the music back up. We were all taking pictures with him. It was so cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good cop story.
Yeah. I've got pictures of that. Maybe I'll post them. I'll post it on the J2K podcast.
I like
that. Well, yeah, let's figure out a way to
Instagram account.
Shoehorn that cop into our group photo.
Maybe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe have him on the show sometime. I'm sure he's got some stories.
Yeah, he can call in.
Yeah. We'd have to fly him down. Is that okay?
Well, of course.
What's you the budget, right?
We do have the budget. We're doing commercials now.
I know. I'm like, where are we at with our commercial budget? Well, our revenue stream.
Well, we got $15 promised that we haven't got yet.
Smooth.
So can you find a really good cheap Spirit Air for $15?
I did talk to the massage place today about us advertising for them. I said, hey, if there's like something you want to do, like maybe offer a discount for people who call and do a massage and mention J2K podcast, and then we can figure out maybe a little mutual. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. I'll mention it for
that's
a discount.
That's how baby get a discount. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm telling you, it's called BAM. I'm doing the ad right now. B period A period M period. I'm not sure what it exactly means, but it's Jennifer and Shauna, and they just hired another girl. But today I had Jennifer, and she just did a regular old hour massage, and like the best intuitive massage I've ever got, because she never got to the point of like pushing too hard, like intuitively stopped before I could even like think it was a thing. It was amazing.
Unlike the girls at the state fair, which like brutalized me.
Oh.
Like bruised you.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You got a state fair massage?
Well,
yeah,
we were,
so did I.
Well, we were there for like 800 hours with his kids.
Did you eat your curly fries while you were getting it?
No.
No.
We were hurting.
Corn.
That's where she like dug her elbow in, like threw my back into my stomach, and I was like, ow!
So, to be fair to the ladies that were rubbing your back,
I did.
You told them
I did.
That you loved it, and
I
so
did.
They went for it.
It was like one of those things where I knew...
Say yes when you mean no.
Yeah, well, no, it was like I knew it would be good for me in the end, but it hurt so bad.
So, just like the topic earlier, like, not quite in line... It's like, I know this is going to be bad, but, oh, this feels great. Keep going.
I did say, ow, ow, ow. And at one point, I did tell her, okay, not so hard. But I did start with, hurt me.
I feel uncomfortable.
That's how we started.
Did you sing and dance to that song with your ribbon that night that you guys met? Herbie.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jeff, do you have any good cop stories?
I have a lot of cop stories, but none are as good or funny as the ones that were just told. Like, in Seattle, I worked at a place called Dante's Steak and Grog. It's a University of Washington, like, sports bar. Three levels, pool tables, pinball machines, all that. And me and a guy, Darren, worked, and then it was happy hour, and you could get $1 well drinks.
I found the picture of me and the cop.
Justin's wearing a pirate hat.
I'm wearing a fucking pirate hat for some reason.
See, you always start talking, no one wants to hear your story.
And not a surf ring. And not a surf ring.
Okay. I'm listening because you know where you left off? Dollar well drinks.
You got my attention.
My ears are burning.
Young Justin.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I like the photo.
Well, thanks, awesome.
You are so good.
Okay.
Dollar well drinks.
So, dollar well drinks, and then my buddy is like, hey, I got some weed. And so we go out the back door of the bar, and next to the bar is a comedy club, all connected in the same building. We climb on the roof, and we're on the roof, we smoke the weed. We've drank innumerable dollar gin and tonics. And it's fall, it's cold, it's dry, and there's leaves on the roof, and we are dropping dried leaves, and they're fluttering down. And there's a line out in front of the comedy store, and so we're seeing if they hit somebody, you know, and like if they notice or whatever. And, you know, like, yeah. You know. And so then we're like, all right, we're bored of that. So we go to climb down, and when my foot touched the ground, I was in handcuffs against the wall, cops yelling, where's your tools? Where's your tools? And I'm like, what tools? What are you talking about? You're trying to break in. I'm like, oh man, no, like we're dropping leaves off the roof.
Oh God.
So I ended up, they searched us and found, like, when we finished smoking the weed, I put the pipe in my pocket, my buddy put the weed in his pocket, they found those two things. Mm-hmm. Of course they did. We end up in North Seattle precinct, holding, and, the detective comes in with a paperclip and the pipe that I had in my pocket. He jams the paperclip inside the mouth hole, pulls it out, and says, you see that? That's possession. And I'm just like, fuck. You know? And so...
just throwing leaves.
Possession of marijuana. So then he puts in this holding cell, and there's a Mexican dude in there, and we're handcuffed. Sitting in there. And this Mexican dude's in there, and I'm just like, fuck. What the fuck? And this guy's like, eh. And I'm like, huh. And he goes, eh. Gets my attention, and he looks at me, and he looks down behind him, and he slides over, and there's a big pile of cocaine behind him.
Oh, shit.
Like, he had this coke, and he's like, we gotta do this. And I'm like, okay. So I split it into two big piles, and like, he did one and I did the other one.
No,
yeah.
That's the best story. I love it.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
It was like for a drug and a druggie and an alcoholic like myself.
Yeah.
Well, like, what a bonus to be.
Yeah.
The Mexican dude had like coke he had to get rid of.
Passing time in jail.
Yeah, hey. Might as well get really high on cocaine.
Yeah.
That's my story.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I have a really funny story that happened to my sister and I when I was 18. We were just a year apart, and we were huge stoners, and we had gone and got a bag of weed, probably like that Mexican brick shit that you'd get in 1987.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think we probably paid $20 for it.
Like, not only was there seeds and stems, but there's like husks of seeds.
Yeah, yes, and it reeks like chemicals, because whatever they packed it in to get it like across is... And we're stoned, and we're driving down this freeway in Columbus, 71, over by Ohio State campus. And the exits there are about, I don't know, like a quarter mile apart. It's just like exit, 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 exit. And I'm driving, we're driving this, we shared this 85 Honda Accord. It was a stick, and it had no radio. We had a big, huge boombox in the back with a CD player.
Hell yeah.
Like, yeah. And we're driving, and we're like two exits away. So we're like maybe a half mile from where we're getting off. And we're both like, oh, couple eights way behind. Like, no big deal. We're like getting close to our exit. And it's like 10 seconds go by, and it's like, couple eights getting really close. And then my sister looks at me, do you think they're after us? And I'm like, no one would know that we bought this. Next thing you know, there's like 10 cops. And then we're on this exit, and like, we're like, holy fuck, my sister's like, hide the weed! And
throw it out the window.
they're all behind us, and like, before you even know it, we're just like, holy shit. And I pull over, and like, five cop cars come in the exit ramp, so we're like totally blocked in, okay? And all of a sudden, they all get out with their guns in their hands, and all of a sudden, we're like, they're not after us! Like, get down! My sister's like, get down! There was one car in front of me, and they were after that guy.
Oh, shit.
Okay. And I'm not kidding you, they had the helicopters down on this guy, and there was, by the time like it all stopped, probably 20 cops.
You guys are like, what kind of weed did we buy?
It was like a $20 bag of weed. And like, I mean, we're just like sitting there like praying out loud, like, oh my God, we're gonna die. Like, why are, like, we had no idea. Why are we in the middle of, there's gonna be a shootout for sure. Like, never seen so many guns drawn. And then this cop like knocks on our window, and we're like, yeah, and we're like, get up. And we're, I mean, talk about a fucking buzzkill.
Oh,
I mean, holy, I mean, we about shit ourselves. Like, yeah.
We had to smoke all the rest of the week just to get back to normal after that.
They're eating like, a bag of chips.
Like, we had to like, he's like, go ahead and get out of here. And the guy's up there all handcuffed, you know. And that's, we're like, crazy. What did he do to deserve, like, to get that kind of attention? And we're just like, the guy's like, you can leave now. We're like, okay. And we're like, have to pull through like the cop cars. And, you know, the helicopter's still spotlighted on all of us. And, I mean, we're just like, I don't think we like really spoke for like 2 minutes. Like, we were like, I'm driving. And I'm like, I couldn't even like drive. It was just insane. It was like, and we still talk about that to this day. And we're like, what did that guy do? We're just like, we just want to know what he did. Like,
right.
It wasn't, did he like murder somebody? Like, yeah. What kind of warrant is out for someone's arrest that they would involve
40 cop cars.
Like, they thought he was armed.
So, but he was a car in front of you?
The car in front of us.
So, but was he driving erratically before that? Or were you in front of him? Or was you behind him for a long time?
Well, we were only on the freeway for like 2 miles. I don't even know. Like, it just, I guess so.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Weird. It was like, we were on the freeway in the right-hand lane. We see cop lights. Our exit's like now, like maybe a half mile up. And it's like they just all close in on us, and we just get over, and he just happened to be in front of us. I don't know.
Weird.
So that's my crazy bizarre.
The person that probably doesn't have a cop story, let's ask her.
I don't.
Tell that story
about
that time you went to prison, Christine.
Christine, but not really.
Run a stop sign.
I've been pulled over.
Oh wait, Diaz. Tell the Diaz story. Babe.
Well, I don't want to say the name.
I just said it.
Okay. Well, one night I was driving home. I mean, all my cop stories involve, like, me being not the best driver.
And booze getting you out of something.
Yeah. That's what they involve. When I first moved out to Oregon, I was commuting from Salem to Wilsonville in a manner of, like, maybe 3 months. I got 3 speeding tickets going, like, pretty high, like, maybe 75, 80 on I-5. So after that, I was like, I'm going to drive really good. But ever since then, I've gotten no speeding tickets, but I've been pulled over probably like 5 or 6 times, and I get out of it like every time.
Wow.
Most recently, I was driving home from Trader Joe's one night, heading through downtown, and I don't know what time it was. Probably like,
was it the Mission Street light?
It was the light at, before you're heading into downtown by the library on Liberty.
Okay.
And I went through a yellow, and it turned red when I was in the intersection, and the cop pulls me over.
And he's on the other street, so he just watches it happen.
Yeah, so like, I'm literally, it's yellow, it's red while I'm in the middle, and then, and he asks me, you know, It's a standard, you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, because I kind of slid through that red light. And he goes, oh, you've been to the TJ, have you? Because I had my Trader Joe's bag.
TJ. I thought he meant Tijuana.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I love Trader Joe's. He's like, yeah, me too. And then he basically was like, well, do you know why I pulled you over? I was like, because I kind of slid through that red. He goes, well, it kind of turned red when you're in the middle. So yellow means stop. And then
like cops will be known to try to tell you.
And then, anyways.
Always lecturing.
I know. I was like, gosh.
It's just their job.
And I want to say, oh, I thought yellow meant go faster, but I held back.
I think with the TJ's comment, you had an in there. You could have went, I thought yellow meant floor it.
I'm respectful to the police officers. I say, thank you, officer. Good night, officer. Sorry, officer.
But in what tone? Thank you, officer.
Like, when, and her arms pushed together in a blue towel. Like,
I hope we have a good night, officer.
Yeah. I will say, like.
So he was a young, hot Latino Salem
attractive.
Cop.
Oh. He was young, too.
And his name was Officer Diaz.
Officer Diaz, if you're
so,
listening. Thank you.
Out of that, warning. Every time we are driving,
yeah, so
and
now,
the light's yellow, we go, Diaz! And
yeah,
go through
so
the light.
Funny. So if I run a yellow light now, I say his awesome. Name as I run it. But I will say, since I've been pulled over, I am definitely more mindful, and I've stopped a lot more than I probably would have before.
Were you like, I'm pretty sure you need to take me in.
I need to be cuffed. Let's start with hurt me.
Hey, that's our bedroom stuff.
I just full circled around.
Yes.
Like that?
Yes.
Take me back to the state fair, Diaz.
Yeah, that's about it. I am a very, like, I don't have any good cop stories. My college roommate, when we were in college, ran over a cop's foot at a DUI stop.
Oh.
That was a good one.
Yeah, did she get one?
Oh, she was so, yeah, she got her license taken
she
away.
Did.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. But
all right, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, all, we're back from our break, and we're gonna let Burke do an Instagram video thing while we're going out. So, like, yeah, you should have been ready for that. What the hell?
I guess I should have.
Also,
I already snuck one.
Oh, did you?
Okay. I did.
So, also, too, like, we have for a long time. What are you pointing at?
The hatchet?
No, you can't have the
what?
Hatchet.
Oh, okay.
It's like, don't sit on it.
I don't want you to have the hatchet. So we have, for a long time, been doing what have we learned, but I don't want to do that. Like, it just seems weird when I do it, like, because then we're trying to figure out what the hell we've learned,
so much
right?
Pressure.
But just, I want to do, like, what do you think? Like, what are you thinking right now?
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
like,
cool.
Like, it doesn't have to be about this. It could be, like, when you were an astronaut in 89, Justin.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I'm thinking right now.
What are you thinking
I
right
think
now?
I think that your bathroom is, like, a little shop of pranks.
Oh.
The, our bathroom
yeah,
there?
Yeah, your bathroom. Every time I go in there, it fools me two times. One, when I flush, lift up. Like,
yeah.
What the hell?
Instead of pushing
no.
down.
Yeah, you have
that
to lift
awful.
Up on that.
It gets me every time.
It's
and
not me.
It
was her ex-boyfriend.
And every time I go to get soap, it goes like that at me. Like, it's like just it, all in, like, 20 seconds.
If
just
I
like
could
that.
Just
that's what I'm thinking.
If I could make it like do a funny noise after like
da
da da
my hand and something to like jump at me. Fun house.
Yeah.
We need a
like,
weapon
here. Like we could get air to shoot up from the floor.
Like
a
Jack in the Box that I bought for a friend as a joke for Christmas, but man, we could totally incorporate that into the bathroom.
We could just put it in there. Like, I have enough
like
fucking man care products in there to choke up. Like the what's the group of gay guys that does a thing?
Queer Eye.
Yeah, I could like I got enough stuff in there for the Queer Eye group.
Way different.
Choke a. Queer Eye. What?
What? No.
No, that's not what I'm thinking.
Well,
I'm just thinking, like, how grateful I am to do the podcast and, like, to have this. Like, I really am. Like, I think about it all the time, and I go through different emotions about it, but I'm super grateful. Like, it's so fun and something to do. Like, it, we have this thing every Friday, and it gets me out of, like, you know, not doing, because I'm a king of not doing. I can just lay right there. But Justin's in the way now.
You can lay down here, Daddy. No. So what?
So what's that show about those gay guys?
Oh. Well, I was gonna start talking about my Pornhub search history.
Oh! Ow! Just like that.
So I FaceTimed with my mom earlier
before
we started the podcast.
Yeah.
And she was saying hi to everybody. And Christine almost started tearing up because it was so sweet. And my mom was like, Jeff, could you go over and kiss Justin on the top of his head for me?
Yeah, for me.
So Jeff came over and gave me a little kissy poo on the top of my head.
Yeah.
While I FaceTimed with my mom.
It's
a little bristly up there.
Yeah, it's like a boar's head brush up there.
Well, you know why I cried? It reminded me of when my mom came to visit. And my mom tucked me and Jeff in.
Oh, I know.
And she kissed me on the forehead and said, good night.
Well,
honey.
She's been telling me the story of how...
Yeah.
My mommy always tucks me in. She calls her mommy. And yeah, so she's like, when she comes, I'm going to have her tuck us in. And so she got her to do it. And like, what were our names? Pumpkin and Buttercup.
Oh, that's right. I'm Pumpkin. You
were Buttercup.
Good
night, Pumpkin. Good night, Buttercup. And she like tucked us in and gave us a little kiss on the forehead.
It's so cute.
But yeah, what about when your mom hugged me up and said, I just love you.
I know. God, I lost it.
Melted into a puddle on the floor.
I know. I'm a big marshmallow.
You are.
Kind of a crier.
It's really sweet.
Marshmallows are filled with sugar.
I'm thinking about one of those chocolate pies, man. Do you have
any? We're all out, man.
Are you kidding me?
No chocolate pies, bro.
Sadly.
Gah!
Well, we probably bought like 24 in the last like 2 months.
I'll tell you what, though. Bert brought some honey glazed Tillamook. That stuff is the jam.
Yeah, for get on you, that, brother.
For those of you that don't know or...
Use get on some of that.
For those of you that don't know or don't live in Oregon, Tillamook jerky makes honey glazed, and it's amazing. It's not too
Which
salty.
Beef jerky.
Oh, it's beef jerky. It is the jerkiest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Tillamook honey glazed sounds like it could have been your Pornhub search.
This episode. Tillamook... Honey glazed jerk. Okay, so I wonder if my search history is actually saved. Oh, so by the way, every time I pull up my phone to look up something, I'm like, let's just Google it. I open a new page on my phone and it shows all my recent or most visited. Let's see what I've got on there right now. Because I got called out for it the other day by my boss. Let's see.
I delete the history.
Amazon.
Yeah, mine doesn't stay on.
Amazon, Craigslist, frequently visited. And then there's a big one with, it looks like a periodic table of elements. PH. Which is not a phone book. It stands for Pornhub. So one of these podcasts will have to go through my search history.
Yeah, I delete
your top recommended.
I delete my search history, even though I'm trying to like eliminate porn from my life. Like,
are you afraid I'm gonna go on there? Like,
No. I just like am disgusted with myself. Yeah. Like, that's really what it's about. Because, and I had this conversation with my teenage son. Like, porn has ruined part of sex for me. Like, because it's completely unrealistic. Like. Stuff that isn't even, like, true to, like, pure intimacy with another person. It's not. And I don't know. Like, I'm... Like, whatever with people who are in the industry, like, I think that there's a market for that and there are cool people that do that, like, whatever. But I just don't think it's a good thing. I'm, like, on my soapbox now about fucking porn. But, like, I still look at it.
That's why I only watch robot porn. Because then
it's...
There
you go. Not like AI porn?
Because then I can be with an actual woman and it's completely different. Yeah.
Is it like metal?
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
In my mind, it was a...
I was hoping you'd come up with something
good. It was a joke about pornography, except it was with robots instead of actual humans.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Like, sorry to put a downer on that, but that's my truth.
Spank me, daddy.
Oh my god.
Bleep warp.
Oh, the hand motion for that.
Bleep warp. Bleep warp in
Jesse's
my mouth.
Jesse's got robot hands over here.
I was doing the robot. Oh, by the way, here, hold on.
Bleep, blorp, in my mouth.
Hold on. Hey,
that's me repeating myself again because nobody listens to what I fucking say.
Hey Siri, what's my name?
I don't know your name. Update your information and contacts.
Oh, damn it.
Wow.
Never mind. I changed my name on my phone to Daddy, so I'll be in the... Have I told this on the podcast yet?
You played it on the podcast.
Yeah. God, see? I knew it was coming eventually.
That's okay, but it didn't play this time.
It did not play this time.
So, what are you thinking, Burke?
Like you, I'm also thinking of how grateful I am to be a part of this right now, tonight. It's something that... I'm just always aware of whenever I do any sort of project, whether it's an episode of a podcast or, you know, some little indie short or anything like that. I'm always grateful to be a part of any little collective because it's always special. Right. I'm also thinking about my sciatica because that's a pain in the ass.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bird needs BAM.
Literally.
I need,
you need
Jennifer at BAM. Massage and we'll mind.
Well, I've got an appointment on Monday, in Woodburn.
Okay.
You want me to take a look at it for you, buddy?
Absolutely.
I'll just
drop trow right here.
Well, also too, like I forgot to mention this, but you. Yeah, he could. Yeah. I wanted to comment to you about how grateful I am about your interaction with this podcast because of all of the interactions, you are the most interactive, especially on the Twitterverse.
Oh yeah, like, I'm plugged into Twitter. Dude.
Completely plugged in, like you are. He is Twitter active, and so yeah, I'm grateful for that. You interact with us much more so than anyone else, and yeah, thank you. Wow. There's only one person left, or did you already say?
Oh, I told you that. Your bathroom.
Oh, the bathroom was your thing.
But now I feel like you guys all said something like, oh, I'm really grateful.
I didn't know.
Well, I also talked about my shame at porn. So, okay. I mean, come on.
Okay.
I didn't go yet.
What are your physical pains?
I know. We don't talk about those.
Or yeah, we can't talk about regrets. until I brought up my joke that I made up about how to protect yourself when you use a Ouija board, then you wanted to talk about your regrets.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't want to do that salt shaker thing. I'll talk about my regrets any day.
Did I already go, or did I just cut you off, Jeff?
Well, probably. You kind of went, and I haven't gotten
probably, it. Yeah. Whatever it was.
What about you, Christine? Like,
yeah.
What I didn't really have anything other than same thing, grateful to be part of this. I'm also grateful that maybe you delinquents can help me, like... You feel like we'll get some more exciting stories of police officers.
Well, let's not go out and make that. Like, you know, because then they'll have to like lecture us again.
Okay, rule of three. The lecture joke is done.
And I definitely feel like I need more police officer stories.
No. Especially with Diaz.
This saga continues. Let's go try to find him. Let's take the show live.
Do you have to shake your shoulders like that when you go to find him?
Well, what I want to do is I want to take that Ouija board to Oregon State Hospital.
We could just stop at every green light and wait until it turns.
That's got to be a video special.
Well,
podcast.
So everybody, the last several podcasts were Halloween, follow up to Halloween. We talked about Ouija boards. I was like dead set against it. Now I'm like, I don't care. I have a Ouija board in the house right now.
We've been sleeping and, next for all week.
Yeah. And we are
an official Milton Bradley?
It's Hasbro.
Hasbro.
So, oh, and that was it. I was trying to tell the story when Justin made the funniest comment on the first podcast we talked about Ouija. He's like, the ghost of Milton Bradley.
Yes.
Like, that fucking cracked me up. That's funny shit.
To be fair, I'm sure I heard that somewhere else.
I don't care. You said it, and I heard it. You say it. But we're going to do the Ouija, and I don't know if it's going to be after this podcast or what, but we are going to film it. Because I think a Ouija board deal during a podcast would be the most boring shit ever.
Yeah.
Because, like, who's somebody going to, like, explain what's happening?
Right. It's moving to air!
I won't play, I'll commentate.
I think...
Just kidding, I want to play.
I think even just...
I need you to play. Because I'm going to be in charge.
Good.
I'm gonna be in charge of asking the questions. You have to have somebody like ask the questions that is not touching the board.
You're not gonna touch the board?
No, I'm gonna be in charge of what's going on.
Yes, there is. I like the sports commentator too.
But the sports commentator Ouija board. Did you hear him?
And it's moving towards the no. Looks like the slider's moving towards the no, and it's coming back down to a Y, to an E. Yeah.
Z-O! It's Z-O. The Demon Zozo!
Touchdown, Missouri!
Yeah.
That's funny.
Alright, so now, in the podcast, is when we do our song.
Do you have words?
He just makes them up.
Okay. You gonna wing it?
Sure. Okay, ready? One. 2, 3, J2K, J2K.
Bert got raised by a libertarian family.
Yes, I did.
Jeff got arrested and snorted a mountain of coke.
Orale.
J2K. J2K. Kareem was on that show. Cops.
Yeah. One more time after this.
So good.
Christine has fantasies about Officer Diaz.
Goddamn Diaz.
Diaz.
J2K. J2K.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, you can find us on all the books, the grams, and the twits at J2K Podcast. And you can email us at j2kpodcast@gmail.com and interact with us as much as Burke does, you lazy bastards.